Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. We are continuing now with part two of our amazing interview with Pastor Dima and politician Dima from Lviv, Ukraine. If you did not listen to the first series of this podcast, you must go back and tune in, because we're talking about politics, we're talking about religion in the United States and in Ukraine. And you have to go back and listen to that podcast to lead you up to the ending statements that were made by Dima and Dennis. And we're picking up now from that last statement which was made. And if I might go back, Dima, backtrack just a minute. You know, you were talking about you had an opportunity to visit the Heritage Foundation. It, you know, my bell just went off in my brain and just said, what about a Heritage Foundation in Ukraine? Could that be something that could be started, a Heritage Foundation in Ukraine? And we were talking about the news and the media and how liberal some of how liberal most of the media is in America. Tell us about the media in Ukraine. Is it quite different than what we have here in the United States? Do you hear the truth more than we hear in the United States on your news media?
Thank you, Herb. I'm not sure about how much of truth you listen in the United States, but I know something about media in Ukraine. All main media belongs to our oligarchs. So this is my answer. And when oligarchs are in different politics camps, groups, depend of their politics, beliefs, and groups, we have news on their channels. I believe we have some independent, but all our news call some self. We are independent news. Even sometimes they says we are only independent news. But you know, everybody knows who is their owner, and from whom they are independent. So I think we have some news and channels who is more independent, but they are not main. Not we call it first bottoms. So I think our Ukrainian citizens have the opportunity to read many news from internet, because we can to find some really exactly independent bloggers and newsmakers, and do comparing between them and no real situation. So I told you that all our head news channels, main news channels, they showed us only one truth about United States. When you had your previous president, Trump, CNN news, and after them, all our head news, showed us only his strange, extremely side, and nobody showed us him as a Christian, who has beliefs, who have them, who have some success in United States. Everybody told us he is a strange guy. He is extremely guy. He is very almost idiot. I'm sorry. And they showed us only this side of United States politics, politicians, and your president. Right now, we have extremely different picture of your president.
What is that?
Yeah, he is a good guy. He is a pro-Ukrainian guy. But nobody think that this guy has an agreement with Merkel and Putin couple days ago. So I think even those channels can't to stop right understanding, and they will show us big part of truth about United States politics, who is politicians now. So something like this. I'm sorry for my English.
No, your English is much, much better than my Ukrainian.
Thank you.
Jack, Alan?
No question.
When going back to your country again, as I've never been there, unfortunately. I understand, I've heard a lot from Herb and other folks who have been there. Your army situation, because you've indicated the aggressor, which is the USSR, and they've been looking to, ever since World War II, they've been looking to expand their territory to spread communism. In your country, your army, is it a volunteer army or is it conscripted? Do you have a draft?
Thank you. A couple years ago, we stopped our volunteers army. We stopped to looking for guys who will serve in our army without their agreement, because all Soviet system was only volunteers army. Nobody asked me did I want to be in army and or not. I must be in army and serve there 2 or 3 years, but. Maybe I don't remember, maybe 6 or 7. Oh no, I think it was maybe 10 years ago. We stopped this system and we became only contract army. But very soon, Russia start war against us. They steal our lands, Crimea. They put their army to Donbas and this territory, and they tried to do more than this, but we stopped them. We back to volunteers army. When we have soldiers who was calling to army without their maybe their desire. And right now we have maybe 50-50 army. Many of our soldiers and officers are contractors, and they have salary, and they, especially guys who is on the war territory, it's only contractors. But we still have army with the soldiers. We reserve them and call them without their desire.
Jack, can I speak to this? And I'm not an expert on military, but I know enough about the military to say that in Ukraine right now, when the Soviet Union broke up, the agreement with Russia, with the Russian Federation and Ukraine, was that Ukraine had many, many, many nuclear weapons there and much military. So the agreement between the two countries was that Ukraine would divest itself of all nuclear weaponry. In return, the Russian Federation would guarantee the sovereignty of Ukrainian country and government and its borders. That was written and signed between the two countries.
Budapest. How'd that work out?
Right? That was a legal agreement, international agreement. So Ukraine really gave up much strategic weaponry that they could have used against any major aggressor. They became a very weak military, but they had the ability left still in a non-nuclear way to defend themselves from an attack. But they do not have a strong enough military or amount of weaponry to defend completely against a major superpower, military superpower like the Russian Federation. And the Russian Federation has continued to develop their nukes and their non-nuclear forces. And so they could squash Ukraine in an instant if they desired to do so. If they didn't care about international, in other words, if Putin decided, I'm just going to take Ukraine because it should be ours, he could do it tonight.
Yeah.
And no one in Europe would stop him, and no one in the U.S. would raise a finger because they are clueless. They choose to be clueless, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's the reality. But Ukraine, Putin doesn't do it because he recognizes that he doesn't have a strong enough economy, and the Russian people, as much as they've been told to hate Ukraine, they wouldn't be happy about losing their sons in these kind of battles. So he's a waiting game. If you read the Wall Street Journal commentary 2 days ago on the opinion page about Putin's ideas for the future, it's revealing, because Putin has basically written a 5,000 word document that pretty much opens up to the world what he thinks. He thinks Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia should all be one again, and that those other two countries should have nothing to do with the West, only with Russia, because they can be only successful by being part of his sphere. And that's his goal. That's his ultimate goal, if he can achieve it. But he can't do it right now unless he does it the way I said, to just completely ignore the rest of the world. If he did that, once it's accomplished, he would cut him. I mean, every country would then oppose him. So it's very, very touchy. Meanwhile, people in Ukraine are being cut off because of the Nord Stream pipeline. Their influence will disappear in Western Europe, because Western Europe can suck at the teat of Russia very easily without having Ukraine in the process. And in spite of that, Ukraine economy is surviving, although it struggles. People are living fairly decent lives now, at least in the middle to western part of Ukraine. Eastern Ukraine's a mess because it's a war zone. You can't live a normal life in a war zone.
Yes.
And those people are suffering terribly at the hands of what I call thugs and warlords, who are nothing but Russian puppets who live in Ukraine. So with all that long harangue of information, this is what's in reality going on in Ukraine right now. And unfortunately, the Western powers, where, like Dima said, most people in Ukraine want to be, they can see the future is aligning with the West, because that's where the resources are coming or can come to help them, and they can contribute to the West. In fact, Russia would be better off if they would look to the West instead of isolating themselves. But Putin, it's all about him, and it's all about him in control and him in power. I don't see an answer outside of God sovereign touching his life.
No. You know, I have small, short comments. It was comments from your congressman, Bob McEwell. We had very fruitful meeting with him last week. He said to our Ukrainian delegation, and we had some high position politicians on this room, and he said us, when those agreement you remind us in Budapest was it was this agreement
it was signed,
but it wasn't agreement only between Russia and Ukraine. United States exactly. was the same guarantor of national boards of Ukraine. And he said us, you know, do you know why we lost more than 15,000 other American soldiers in South Korea? Why? Because we gave the word, we said the word, and we was honestly with this word. We was faithful. But your history, Ukrainian history, this is the only time when United States gave the word, but do nothing with this word. Because when Putin start this war, you need to have strong army, strong weapon, but Obama send you a blankets.
Yeah.
Blankets. Exactly. And right now we have situation like we have.
Trump sent missiles, I think. Trump sent missiles.
You know, part of the reason this has happened is because in America, we have a complete, not complete, we have a huge portion of society that are politically naive. And they vote in national elections without any concept of ramifications in the world. Not even in our country, they don't grasp the ramifications of what their vote's gonna mean once it's tabulated. And we see this as a result of our last election. I mean, those who have common sense and brains see it, those who don't, they still walking around like zombies.
Yeah.
So, Dima, let me ask you a question about your team. How many members from Ukraine came over, and were they all from the city of Lviv?
This current group.
This
was more of a fact-finding group.
Yeah, how many members were in this group?
You mean yeah. this group or next group?
No, right now.
No, this group.
No, I am only from Lviv.
Oh, you're the only one.
We have a team from all Ukraine, and people like me I told you who is coordinator of Protestant movement in Ukraine.
Okay.
They was with me. And it was very big group.
How many from Ukraine?
It was almost 40 guys.
Wow.
40 people.
Okay.
Let me go back to the religious situation over there. Is it still primarily Eastern Orthodox religion? And what percentage would you say is that versus Christianity?
Yeah, in our country, we have 4%. It's 4% of Protestant churches. The most of our churches are Orthodox churches.
Ukrainian
Orthodox churches. Yes, they are separated from Russia. And we have in our part of Ukraine, it's called Greek Catholic Church.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different. You know, they are not a real Catholic, not Roman Catholic. They are Orthodox by their mitzvah and their history, but they under Pope now. And because of this, they call Greek Catholic Church. And they are main religion in our part of country. And because of this, I need to have our politicians to United States, because our church, most of our church initiative, our church ideas, church projects was rejected by our government because they think about us, we are sect or cult. Because in our country, in our part of country, we have less than 1% of Protestant churches. Because of this, we want to, it's another reason why we want to put or take this, our politicians, and show them what is Protestant church and evangelical church means, what is country who was built by these guys, was Protestant beliefs and their Christian faith. So I think it will be changed. And they will be more open for us.
We've got about 6 minutes left. Tell us about taxation. Is taxation a pretty big issue in Ukraine?
Excuse me?
Taxation, is that a problem in Ukraine?
You know, many of our business projects in our shadow because of our tax situation. And our businessmen, like guys, we was with them in our American trips. Do you remember Irina Berezinets and another guys? They have a battle now for saving simple taxes. We have simple taxes in our simple taxes for many of our businessmen. And because of the simple taxes, they can't do their business. But if a government will kill this simple tax system, they will die as a businessman. Yeah. So we have a battle right now in our country for this this tax system. I believe we will keep it, protect this system.
I want to ask just one question, and this is just really killing me. Forgive me if I asked this in the last interview. I don't remember. I don't think I did. I don't think anybody did, but I want to ask this. And Dennis, you can chime in on this as well. I see in Ezekiel 38 that Rosh is Russia. And I think Russia is the big aggressor and is going to ignite a war that either begins the tribulation or will be, some put it, in the middle of the tribulation period. But how do you see Ezekiel 38?
How do you see Ezekiel 38? Do you believe it's Putin?
Honestly, Jack, I read all the scriptures and I believe all the scriptures, but my ability to say and pinpoint a scripture to an actual event is not possible by me. So, yes, those things will occur in time. I don't know when or who exactly it will be. For example, Communist China is probably the largest aggressor in the world today. And they have been at war with the rest of the world for the last 100, well, not 100 years, but since they came into power after World War II. And there's a book been written about this called The 100-Year Marathon. And if you read that book, you'll realize what I'm talking about. They've been fighting an asymmetric war with every other philosophy in the world. And their intent is by lying, deception, and every other ruse, cheating, stealing, to become the most dominant world force there is. Now, how that fits into prophetic prophecy, I'm not sure, because China's not mentioned. That group is not mentioned specifically in scripture. But then again, the United States of America, we're like the black hole. We have no significance by scriptural reference to anything concerning the end times. Yet here we are. So to answer your question, don't ask me.
Okay, if I can answer on your questions, my answer will be short. Yes, I believe it's Russia. And I'm not sure it's Putin, because Putin not start this politic empire aggressive politic. It was always in Russia history. Because we Ukrainian right now understand what means Russia's friend and Russia's brotherhood, and they're Russia's brothers' hearts. I think, yes, they are the biggest aggressor in the world now, but they do this very wise and do this very, yeah, we call it, we even have new term now, we call it hybrid war, not directly aggressive, but hybrid. And you can to say something illegal, because you know, we call it, if you catch me, if you don't catch me for my hand, I'm not steal something. So it's the same situation in Russia, but they are the biggest aggressor in the world. They have very, very big ambition, empire ambition. And especially Putin, he is a crazy man. Nobody knows what we will have next couple, 10 years.
Well, Dima, we want to thank you for your insightful comments about your visit here and what's going on in Ukraine. And we know our listeners are going to be so much better informed about what is happening than what they hear in the news. And I'm just looking forward to the time when I can visit you in your church again. Hope that will be sometime in the future. And again, on behalf of the team, we all want to thank you for, you leave today, I believe. Is this your last day?
Well, he's leaving Winston-Salem area, but he's going down to Florida for a week.
And another meeting.
Work on his suntan. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, again, the team would like to thank you for taking time with us today. And God bless you and all that you do for the people of Christ and the people of Ukraine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for hosting us, Herb.
Oh, Jack, you're more than welcome.
Thank you, Alan Brown.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation.
Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.